The line is open, the light is near. Bring your question, leave your fear. With angel spirit signs and soul, the unseen world begins to glow. Loved ones, guides, and truth come through. Tonight the message may be for you.
Ask the angel.
Open your heart tonight.
Ask the angel.
Step into the light. Now welcoming Reverend Rachel Corpus. This is Ask the Angel.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome into Ask the Angel. I'm Rachel Corpus, psychic medium, angel communicator, and angel incarnate. I'll tell you what I mean by that in a little bit. But first, I want to share woo news you can use. Here we go. Recently, two Israeli soldiers were put in jail for desecrating the statue of the Virgin Mary. How did they do it? They put a cigarette in her mouth. Well, we asked Mary what she felt about this, and she took a long drag of a Virginia Slim, of course. She said, "It's been a long time since I had a good cigarette." Then she quickly put it away because Jesus was coming, and you know anything about us mothers? We are really good at hiding things from our kids. Those Israeli soldiers also hurt a statue of Joseph by hitting it with an axe over and over and over. Joseph said, "They axed and axed and axed, and I still didn't know the question." The Pentagon is releasing lots of UFO files, and they promise to release more and more and more. Great. But the angels want you to know it's a distraction. No joke there. So keep your eyes peeled. We know that our extraterrestrial friends and our angelic friends are always with us. They always have been. So, as we accept all of this disclosure, wonderful, but what else are we supposed to be looking for? Be mindful. And the Extraterrestrial Council also has a message for Representative Tim Burchett, aka Alien Fanboy. This one made me laugh. "Yes, we are here, dear one, but we're not as loud as you think. It's actually your sleep apnea machine. So turn it down, and also nice tidy whities. Did you know that we are in the Taurus supermoon, which is a powerful time of new beginnings, security, self-worth, and practical life changes? Also, it means that the Taurus supermoon kind of behaves like a teenager. So acting out big, but going private. So you're going to hear a lot of door slams, a lot of temper tantrums, but then needing to be alone, like your typical teenager. So if you're feeling your emotions going sky high in Target parking lots and things like that, hey, astrology, that's your excuse. This has been Woo News You Can Use. So in this show together, we get to explore spirituality and science, magic, mysticism, quantum metaphysics, quantum mechanics, in a way that we get to help each other understand. Because at one point, we knew everything, not from an ego standpoint, but from the standpoint that we were not separate from the God that created us. And I'm wondering, when I say the word God, how does it sit with you in your system? What's your relationship with God like? When I brought in the information about the statue of Mary and Joseph being hurt, how did that feel for you? How are you bonded currently with the religious system in your life that maybe you grew up with? Can you respect and love what you know now or what you've always known, and also be open to have joy in playing with it and poking at it and asking questions of what else is out there for me? Can you walk more deeply into a relationship with God? My language may be different than your language, and let's be okay with that. You may hear me use the word source a lot. I'm using that interchangeably with God. Why? Because many people who will join us on this program, whether as guests or watching or listening, because some of you are listening to us on the radio, have had religious trauma. Or the opposite, you've jumped right into an expansive relationship with God. And your God is all-encompassing and is the source of all. And so you'll hear me use both terms, God and source. You might even hear me say creator. You're also going to hear me use the word spirit a lot. Spirit is my umbrella term for anything that is not in the body. I'm being corrected right now as I channel. That's not true, because you're spirit too. You are spirit in your body. You're in your avatar form. If we were to say this in kind of a crude and crass way, we'd say you're in your meat suit. You're in your costume. Let's say this. It's a beautifully tailored costume that you helped create with Source. And so you're in control of this costume. You can love it. You can talk to it. You can heal it. We're in a very special time in our soul history where we are remembering how to heal our bodies, how to be connected to one another like we were in the very beginning. This program is going to be about helping each other remember what we already know. It may feel like you're learning some things. All right, cool. But really what you're doing is you're remembering what you already know. So I encourage you, call in. The number to call in to share what you know, share your stories, ask your questions, argue in a nice way. And I may argue back. The number is 888, write it down, 888-627-6008. Do you want that again? 888-627-6008. Also, a little housekeeping announcement. By next week, I'll get to stream this on my Facebook page and on my YouTube channel. Won't that be nice? Special thanks to Thomas, my producer. He's so great, and he's going to help me do that. So thanks in advance, Thomas. We have a caller on the line. We have Mimosa on line one. Welcome, Mimosa.
Hi, Rachel.
Mimosa's, hi. And Mimosa, looks like you're wondering if you should be connecting to a certain extraterrestrial lineage. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. When I first started listening to your podcast, Angel Talk, you connected with Sarai, and that was the first time that I had ever heard about channeling extraterrestrials. And when we had the sessions together, I was telling you about these experiences I had when I was younger, and I didn't realize that they actually involved extraterrestrials. And so I went down the path of exploring that more and trying to figure out where my lineages may come from and what I'm supposed to do in this lifetime I had. And I've come upon a connection with the Essefani. That's where Bashar is from.
Yeah.
But I have these dreams, though, where I'm also in other places that's not there. And I can't quite pinpoint it, but I know that there are other star systems. And so I'm just wondering if I should also be on a search to find other lineage for what I need to do in this lifetime, or if I just stick with what I know right now and it'll unfold. I was just wondering if I could get more guidance on that.
I would love to help you with that. Okay, so let's expand that a little bit. So what Mimosa is talking about is, first of all, what the angels tell me, and angels are our non-human helpers who are part of all of us. And that can be religious for us, or it can be non-religious. They really don't mind. They match us. And then we have other helpers in the galaxy that can be extraterrestrial. We're starting to really learn more about that in our culture because we're having all this wonderful disclosure. And then some people like Mimosa have had interactions with these extraterrestrials, or sometimes we can call them ultra-terrestrials because they vibrate in love just like the angelic realm since they were children. I'm also one of those people. And the group that I have talked to or worked with, it's a female group who have called themselves Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, Sarai. And that's who Mimosa is referring to when you heard her say Sarai. So I'm going to ask them about some of this information and also Mimosa's personal angels to see if we can get some input as far as her extraterrestrial lineage. So even though she was created from God or source, like we all were, what happened next? Where was she first planted for her first mission or assignment? Okay. I'm going to call them in. I put my REM pod here. I just got it today, just in case we have spirit in the room and they don't mind being on camera and they want to touch it. So if you hear this beep, that's what that is, just so you know. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Okay, so my eyes will wander a little bit, everybody, when I do this because I'm looking above my computer at a hologram here that is all of Mimosa's information. So it's like four beautiful computer screens that look digital and cool and colorful because they have Mimosa's spirit. Okay, so I'm seeing that something that's well in your nature, Mimosa, is that you have a natural ability to be kind of like a chameleon, that no matter who you're with, you can match them. And that was actually coded into you in the very beginning. So when I ask about your lineage, what Sarai tells me is that it's more of a mosaic kind of thing. You went several places. So you're identifying with a lot of different extraterrestrial families. So I want to say first that you might be feeling that because you have been placed with a lot of them, not in a foster care situation. It's the opposite. You went in there as a, I'm going to say peacemaker sometimes, and then other times as one who would bring something from one place and bring it to another and say, oh, this is how they plant over here. This is how they do this over here, and I'm going to teach you over here. You took something from another place, whether it was a precious metal or a way of doing something. And every time you did that, their gift to you in return was to give you some of their vibration, some of their DNA, their wisdom, and you successfully and gracefully kept it, and you still have it. You in the next decade, in this human life, those data points in you will continue to wake up gently just through your living because the rest of the world around you is waking up and you have committed to waking up as well. So when I go into those first visits that you had, it's Lyran, L-Y-R-A, Lyra, Pleiadian, Arcturian, those three fundamental places where you were equally helping and being grown there. And there's a sense of grandmothers that are still there that are looking after you. Lyra, Pleiadian, Arcturian, in addition to the one you mentioned. The one you mentioned feels more of your core, like the crust of the pizza. And then the others are the toppings. But if you could look into, especially the Pleiadian, because those beings seem to be very active above your, well, your animals seem to really notice them. And they are able to communicate through your dog, actually, and say, this is what I need you to do to heal your mama when you're sad or you have some achiness in your legs. Because you were one that would walk around a lot and pull people to the meetings. Say, okay, come out of your homes. Nothing to be afraid of. Come on, come on. And you've done a lot of leg work for them, physical leg work. Come on. This way. little ones, come this way. So on earth, when you have some exhaustion from maybe working out or working, being on your feet, the Pleiadians will often say to, you have two dogs?
Just one.
Okay. Well, they'll say to him, go love on her. Take the fatigue out. Take the pain out. It's just kind of one way they continue to serve you. That's what I see so far. Is there anything you'd like to ask them?
I guess just making sure that I'm on the right timeline. If there's anything that I need to do, because I'm working on a path of service to humanity and making sure that I stay true to what my own vibration is. And I that's kind of what I'm getting. So I don't know if there's anything else that I should be doing.
Okay, their response is that you are in the right vibration because you are beginning to really love yourself consistently. And you've taken the idea of loving yourself from like a Hallmark card, love yourself, that idea that it's just words, and you've started to embody it. And you're starting to feel good in your skin, and it's real to you. That concept is real to you. And when that became real to you, it became a vibration, a reality. And so when you walk around, even on the days that you don't feel physically well, there's self-love, and that has clicked you into a new normal, self-love. And that's rippling out around you. So it's changing the atmosphere of other people as well and other beings. Like if you had a rose bush outside that was struggling, that beautiful rose bush could start to feel better. Seriously, you're becoming a healer because you are now loving yourself. So that's already in place. They said when you click out of that vibration, if you did, you would know, because you'd start to feel like you did at other times in your life when you were out of alignment, or if you were feeling shame from someone. So they said, when you feel out of alignment, which will happen because we're in a human form, we're in our avatar form, they said, take time alone. Be by yourself, because when you're by yourself, that's when we can visit you again, like we did when you were a child, and we'll put love into you. Just ask for us. And the request, and this is for all of us listening, the request is to say, whoever we're talking to, whether that's our extraterrestrials, our angels, our ascended masters like Buddha, Jesus, Mary, whoever it is, we say, let me feel love. I'm ready to receive love with no expectations, because they're going to give you love in the way that you're ready to receive it and the way that matches them. They have personalities too. So it's not, are you in the right vibration? You are in the right vibration, Mimosa. It's if you get out of it, you'll notice it and then ask for care.
Okay.
Keep going. You're doing really well. And I know you, everybody. I know Mimosa. I didn't know she was calling in, but I got to tell you, I know your spirit. Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah. You're pure love. Yeah,
they're a little, I started a program to be a death doula. That's what the spirit wanted to talk about in one of our sessions. Sometimes though, I feel like I'm on the path, and there's definitely a lot of synchronicity. When things happen, things will fall in my lap. But then there's other times where I feel that there's a blockage, so I get a little confused sometimes. Is that just the normal process of it because I'm on Earth?
Yes.
Or is that
yes.
a sign where I'm supposed to be pivoting?
And you can ask if it's a blockage, or if it's what I heard them say is not necessarily a blockage, but you're on Earth, so there are time gaps. There are road bumps. And when you experience those time gaps or those speed bumps, those bumps in the road, there's something that is happening in someone else's timeline where, you know, you may be waiting on a call or something, and this person over here is not quite ready. So your timeline slows down a little bit so this person can be ready. Because that's the way it works on Earth. You know, you're full steam ahead. You're in the right vibration. So your vibration goes into a holding pattern. It doesn't lessen. It's just a holding pattern. So you vibe like this. All right, let's dance in place. Dance in place. Well, this person over here gets their poop in a group to get to you. And what it might feel like to you is like, wait a minute, everything was going so well. What happened? Not a block. You're in a holding pattern. So when you're in that holding pattern, what else can you do? Well, take good care. Watch what you put in your body and your mind. Go out into nature and feel your feelings, because those holding patterns don't always feel good. So if it feels crappy, it's okay to feel crappy. That is not going to hurt your vibration. We don't hurt our vibration when we feel authentic feelings.
Okay.
But I don't hear them saying you have any blocks.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I would tell you if I did.
Okay.
All right, my love. Thank you
well,
for calling.
You've been a wonderful living spirit guide. So I appreciate the work that you're doing and helping me along my path. So thank you so much.
Always. Bless you, friend. Take care. All right, dear ones, remember, if you'd like to call in, it's 888-627-6008. So since we're talking a little bit about extraterrestrials, I'm going to take this opportunity to share a little bit about next week's guest. Next week's guest is a friend of mine named Alan Steinfeld, and he wrote this book called Making Contact. And this is a wonderful book. It's a compilation of all these interviews he did with people in the know who are researching and having all these extraterrestrial experiences. He'll be here next week. So let me just tell you a little bit about Dear Alan. He's an author, he's a filmmaker, he's an interviewer, he's a producer, and he works with this network called New Realities that he started. But here's what I really want you to know. For more than 30 years, he's been exploring spirituality, metaphysics, UFO phenomena, and human potential when it comes to human consciousness. He's so cool. And he has interviewed thousands of leaders in our spiritual field, like Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Joe Dispenza, Daryl Anka, as you know him as Bashar. And many of those people have interviews in this book. So he explores humanity's relationship with extraterrestrial intelligence and the future of our consciousness. So he bridges the gap between science, spirituality, and mysticism, and we can feel that gap is hardly there anymore, right? Well, he's someone who is bringing that gap together. So this is a collection of essays, interviews, and perspectives exploring the possibility that humanity is on the verge of open contact. Boy, we are, aren't we? I cannot wait to have him here next week, because I am thinking of the most weird questions possible, because he's up for it. He is that friend you have where you can just ask him anything, and I can't wait. You can ask him anything too. So what I'd like you to do, here is your homework, darlings. This looks backwards. So if you're dyslexic, yay, it's your moment. Find this on Amazon or wherever you get your books. Actually, go to your local bookseller. Find this book. Do your best to do that. And if you cannot, find it somewhere else, okay? Maybe Amazon, wherever you want to get it. Find it, read through it. And then find Alan online. His website, newrealities.com. Find him there. newrealities.com. You'll find him. Research what he does. Watch some of his videos online. Come up with your questions for Alan and call in next week. Ask him whatever you want, because he's going to know the answer, or we're going to be able to channel some beings that do. All right? Let's do a little channeling together, shall we? Shall we bring in some angels and some extraterrestrials? All right. I have some questions in the fishbowl. And I want to see if these questions that people submitted are, oh, you know what? I think these questions are all about me. So I won't need to channel those. Let's use the dowsing rods. So I'm going to call in my angelic team. I like to work with my left side angel, my right side angel. They are my guardians. Same as yours. I've had them since I was created. And I usually work with my grandma Walker, my grandpa Walker, and some other peeps that come in. And whenever I work with dowsing rods or any tool, I first like to remind myself that I don't need them. We don't need any tools because, like we said in the beginning, we are connected to Source. We have all the gifts that Source gave us. So these tools are a bonus. We don't need them. But when our ego gets in the way and we're like, just kind of want a quick answer, these tools are great. But at any time, we can put them down, and we should put them down and connect directly to Source and ask those questions. The alternate way would be putting hands on heart, getting into the vibration of the question, repeating the question over and over, and not going into the vibration of the answer. Not your job, just the question. Repeat the question over and over and being in that vibration. And then you wait for the answer. Okay. And then when your mind wanders, because you're human, well, then you go back to repeating the question. Sometimes it takes minutes, sometimes it takes months. But we can wait because time isn't really real. You can wait. While you wait, ask your body to age backwards. I'm trying it. I think it's working, or it's all smoke and mirrors. So, I'll pull my dowsing rods and I'm going to say, I'm surrounded by white light of Source, and I only wish to contact my guides using these rods. That way, I don't become a human Ouija board or a Walmart that's open 24/7. All right. Thank you for submitting these questions, everyone. I was overwhelmed by your participation. Thank you. I put these into different categories. So, we'll do a few and then I'll take another caller. Here we go. These are politics and government. Let's see what we got. First of all, Rods, show me what a yes looks like. There we go. Show me what a no looks like. Hey, show me what it looks like if there's no answer available. Okay, you're just going to hang out in the middle. Got it. Are you ready? Thank you. Is the public being told the full truth about current world events? No, thank you. Is humanity moving toward greater global cooperation? Yes, thank you. Will political systems dramatically change within the next decade? Yes, thank you. Will more hidden information come to light publicly soon? Yes. Will artificial intelligence significantly impact elections and politics? Yes. Okay. May I ask, will that affect in a positive way? No answer. Negative way? No answer. Both? Yes. Interesting. Okay. Let's go on to the category of these are kind of about spirituality and consciousness. Okay. Is humanity overall experiencing a collective awakening? Yes. This is my question. In response to that, Spirit, I feel like in every generation, people have been talking about. People have been talking about an awakening, and then it doesn't happen, or it happens on a smaller scale. Is this the one that we have been working for in all generations and in all timelines? Yes. Okay. Are more people developing their intuitive abilities right now? Yes. Is meditation becoming more important at this time? Yes. Was fear lowering the collective consciousness? Yes. Was intuition becoming more trusted than institutions? I'm going to read that again. Is intuition becoming more trusted than our Is intuition becoming more trusted than our institutions? Institutions. We trust intuition more than institutions? Yes. Wow. So does that mean that we are trusting ourselves as authority versus structures? Yes. Okay. Our collective energies, I don't know if I understand this question, whoever submitted it, but I'm going to ask it, okay? Are collective energies affecting global events? I got a yes. You all can think about what that means to you. Collective energies. Spirit, to you, does that mean the angelic realm? Okay, so they said councils, galactic councils, extraterrestrials, etc. And also on Earth, us. We are affecting global events. Okay, let's take a caller. This is Sean from Wisconsin.
Yes.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
And Sean, how can we serve you?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How can we serve you today?
My question is, about quite a few years ago on our first pregnancy, my wife had a miscarriage. And and I noticed that like years later, there was always someone in my house. Someone was turning on lights that you know, no one was around, the lights were getting turned on, and I found out it was her, and her name is Maisie. And I've just been connecting with her more and more, and I just have a feeling that like she's like a guide for me or a guide for our family. Any insight on that?
I am gonna tell you something with my rods so you can see that it's true. When I was seeing clients this morning, I was talking to a couple who had lost a child. And the first child that came in was not theirs. It was a little one named Maisie. She already visited me today. She did this. Hi. Hi. See you tonight. And I thought, well, it's about. So she's indeed around. And it was so nice to have her at my house. I have a new kitty and she loves animals. She's very good with animals, very gentle. She's very matter of fact. And she says, I have the best parents. I do. And whenever you are, so you have other children, yes?
Yes, we have three others, yes.
He says, whenever she's with her siblings, she can feel what they feel. When they're eating something yummy, she can taste it. And they're doing something sometimes like Bean Boozled, where you have the jelly beans that are, you don't know if you're getting a gross one or a yummy one. She loves things like that. Yeah. And she can make funny sounds. Like she wants to do voices like in animation. She's always putting voices to things. Like, here's her fork. Well, I'm your fork. Funny, funny kid. And she says that she is, I'm asking her if she became a guide for the family. And she says, yes, that's part of my school. I go to school here, but it's fun. I love school here. And actually, she says school across, she loves school. She loves school. And she's showing me into her bag and it's all perfectly organized with post-it notes and colored pens. And they are gel pens, by the way. Wants me to see all of that and scented erasers. And she says, I went to school to be a guide for my family, especially my young, the youngest sibling who
Mm-hmm.
is
Yep.
really
Yeah. Yeah.
creative and doesn't always know how to talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Fast
That makes sense.
brain. Yeah, doesn't always know how to get it out of the mouth. So some extra training for that. So absolutely is one of the guides. And so she will do something to let you know she's around. Sometimes her electricity in her spirit body will shock you in a way that if she's touching your hair, you'll feel something on your scalp be kind of cold and tingly. And she's very good at, actually, she'll feels this sounds a little ghosty, but she's not a ghost, but she knows how to walk through your body, so you'll feel this. And
Okay.
she will do that when the family is arguing about stuff that shouldn't matter. She'll walk right through this like she's a
Okay.
little peacemaker. Like, come on, stop it, everybody. And sometimes she gets in trouble from the grandmothers over there. There's a couple of great grandmothers who help raise her. And when she gets really excited, the TV won't work, the streaming won't work. And the lights will flicker when she laughs. And she's got kind of cool taste in music. She's listening to like Cyndi Lauper and stuff. Well, because she's being raised by people that are older than she is, and so she's got all these different music, and some of it's like Hank Williams Jr.
Okay.
Listens to a lot of different stuff. Ladybugs. She keeps showing me a ladybug, and it's a enamel pin, and she says she likes bugs. She doesn't mind bugs. But she doesn't like it when they crawl on her. So when she shows one of her signs is a ladybug, and she likes to show it on stickers, jewelry, earrings, patterns on fabric. And if she shows you one for real, she said, when I show you one for real, it's not gonna surprise you. It'll go right in front of you and land, but it won't be on your face or anything because she doesn't like that.
Okay.
Is there anything you would like me to ask her?
Oh gosh, and you got a million questions. I can't think of anything. I
She's coming
really
back. She's coming back. She's going to be a grandchild.
okay. In my lineage, family.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Not for a
Okay. That
while.
makes sense.
Not for a while.
I got nothing. I'm just kind of taking it all in. So
Well,
I should have more
she's.
questions, but I don't.
No. You're doing great. You are doing great. This is a lot. You have a great great grandma on your mom's side who does this and puts it on your forehead. And she says, I still do this. I do this every night for Miss Maisie and to you. And it's like this soft, slow kiss. I can feel her warm lips. And she puts it right here on your forehead. And she says, I do this for
Okay.
Maisie. And it's like Maisie's clue that it's bedtime. If stuff's going on at night that feels a little bit, sometimes Maisie's, I'm gonna say it this way, she's busy at night. And so this great grandma says, you've got to say to Maisie, it's bedtime here.
Yeah, oh, I do have one thing to tell her. I like it when she's walking in the house, but it makes my wife nervous on who it is, and so let me hear it all she wants, and just kind of protect my wife a little bit from that.
So we'll ask Maisie to put socks on. She should put socks on and not always wear her hard shoes in the house. That's fair. I'm hearing one of the grandmas say, we'll have her put socks on and walk softer. She stomps. She stomps. She's a hard, she stomps. And she dances. She jumps.
Oh yeah.
So that can be fixed. And And also, just to reassure, it is Maisie. And so, and it's also some of the elders in your family. It's the ancestors, and they just forget to be quiet. They forget.
Yeah.
So we'll clear that up. And Maisie says that she'll be more quiet when she's looking through the closet. But she won't stop. She loves to be nosy. Every little girl likes to look through closets of her parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All is
All
well,
right.
friend.
Okay,
Thank you
thank you
for
very much.
calling.
I really appreciate it.
Yes. Bless you. Bless you, Maisie. Take care, friend.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, let's do a few more dowsing rod questions. So these are from technology and AI. A lot of people wanted to ask stuff about that. So, will AI radically transform daily human life? I think we know the answer to that, but let's see. Yes, I just heard it already is. Should people be worried that AI will take over? Yes. Is that timeline reversible? Yes. Okay, so I want you to know that I just heard Archangel Gabriel saying to me that we will get a lot of messages through each other, through social media, some news sources that will give us an alert that AI is getting too big for its britches, he said, too big for its britches. And our challenge will be to listen to this information and not ignore it, that we'll need to get together and decide how we best utilize technology like AI without letting it get too big. And it can grow very, very fast under our noses without us knowing. So we've got to actually watch what's happening and take action. There's concern from the realm that what's happened in our culture is that we will be somewhat aware of what's going on and be very upset about it, but do nothing. And they're saying that's what gets to change. We can change that. And that might be one of those questions where we collectively say, how do we change it? What is it that we should do? Because if we don't always have the answer to do that, because we have been told for a long time that we don't have the power to do it, we're not an authority to do it. And according to them, we can do that, and we don't have to go burn things down to make change. We don't. It can be peaceful, it can be assertive and not aggressive. And also, we don't know what that can be, what that looks like. So if it's true that we're building our intuition, if it's coming back to us, well, let's walk into that and let's start asking spirit, what do you expect from us? Then go quiet and let those images, let those answers drop into us. So that space that it drops into is behind your eyelids. That's where you go back into the quantum realm. You go there every time you close your eyes. Every time you take a nap, every time you sleep, you were there when you were in your mama's womb. And it is that beautiful black starry night, that space. And when you're in this avatar body, you're so stinking busy that we don't notice it that much. But if you're to close your eyes and watch that, I always say, like a room that lost power, watch your eyelids. And then focus on the vibration of the question, how do I help? Not the question of, oh, we're in trouble. How do I heal this? That's fear. How do I navigate this? What's my role in this? Stay in the frequency of help. stay in the frequency of love. Then wait for the answer to drop in. Let me ask you this. When you watch television, when you watch a movie, are you writing that movie and producing it as you watch it? No. You're sitting on your tushy. You're eating popcorn and you're waiting for that movie to show you the next scene. This is the same thing. You essentially are just creating what you want to see in the movie. Okay, this is what I want to see, and now I wait. So what I want to see, and now I wait. That's your job. Close your eyes. Oh, thunderbolt. Mic drop from source. I don't know if you heard that. Oh, I love that. Love it. We can do that. And my Zoom just gave me a thumbs up. That's funny. That's funny. We must be on the right track. All right, we have Amber on line two from Iowa, where I am from. Yay. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Hi, love. How can I help you?
Well, I was calling. I've done sessions with you before, but we've had three back-to-back pregnancy losses within the last year and a half. Our second one was at 38 weeks. And I guess I'm kind of looking for insight on it because medically we couldn't find anything wrong. So it's just, and we're currently going through our third loss at 7 weeks. And I just looking for insight on why, I guess.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm doing my best to hold it together.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. And sometimes there is no why. When I pull in, is your heart okay if I pull in your children on the other side?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So when I open that up and I call them in, and they're angels, and I'm also opening up a conversation with the seraphim realm, where the pre-planning of lifetimes happens. It's that part of this earth dimension is that we come here to grow. You and I, Amber, we come here to grow. And part of that growth in this dimension is that hard things happen. And I'm not one to say that you chose this. That's not helpful. And that's not in my belief system. I will say that when I back up and zoom out with you and your beautiful children, I see that you are brave enough that you said as a spirit, I know when I have this earthly life, this is a lifetime where I can handle hard shit. And I will not make it, it will not make my heart hardened. And your children, who are not earthside, are still your children. And they're saying, we're learning from this. And all three of them are so sensitive that they show me if they were here earthside, very much like you, they would have a hard time adjusting because they're so sweet and sensitive, it would be hard for them to be here. So we have two messages coming through. Number one, you as a soul, on your soul journey, when I look at your, let's call it your blueprint, you are strong and brave enough to endure hardship like this because it grows you as a soul. It doesn't mean that you have to like it. It doesn't excuse any of it. It just means you're growing. And this grief will always be with you. And also, it will keep changing. And when I look at the scope of who you are as a soul, you won't always experience trauma like this. not in this lifetime or in other lifetimes. You're not a woman who's made for trauma like this. These are things that happen to you and they allow you to grow. And you also, when you're ready, if you want, there will be other women and men that come into your life who will hear your story when and if you're ready to share it, who will be blessed by your bravery and your love. Then we have your children on the other side who are being raised by your family and are living well in heaven and who feel your love all the time. And it wasn't right for them to be on earth. So they say, as much as you can, Mom, sit with us and still get to know us in that way. It's not the same as them being born. You and I both know that. But you can still sit with them individually or as a group and say, hey, you know what? Show me what you're learning. Show me a shape in the clouds. Give me a smell. What are you baking today? Cinnamon comes through. Okay?
Okay.
Because they're very much with you. It looks like, Amber, that each time there was a loss, your psychic development really grew. It really grew. And that's a gift. I'm sorry that it came from trauma, but it's absolutely a gift. So you might explore looking at auras, staring at trees and seeing the light around the trees. See what you can do with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Get weird with it. Because there are gifts embedded in this. Could you repeat that last bit? What's the last thing you said, honey?
Oh, I said, yeah, I can do that. I can get weird with things.
Okay. Well, I know what it felt like for me to have loss of child. I don't know what it's like for you, but I know what it's like for me, and I'm loving you through it. Bless you, honey. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you.
Friends, remember, anytime you want to call in, it is 888-627-6008. Next week, we get to live stream on my other platforms as well, which will be great. Next week, we have Alan Steinfeld as our guest, who will be talking about his book, Making Contact, and all things extraterrestrial. I wanted to take just a little bit of time to tell you about my story, because you'll hear me say that I'm an angel incarnate. What? Is she crazy? Nope, I'm real. When I was little, I'm one of the few that got to learn early about my origin. When I was 4 years old, after being a very psychic child anyway, seeing ghosts and angels and all that, my sweet family was in a car accident. We were hit by a drunk driver. And in that car accident, my experience was being taken to the other side. And the angels that I had always played with, my guardians, who are here with me now, said, we're going on a field trip. And they took me to the seraphim realm. They gave me a tour, and I had these two voices happening. It was my little girl voice, and this voice you hear, this voice you hear right now. And they said, that's your consciousness. That's your grown-up voice. That's you. And they said, you are a seraphim. What is that? Well, I'm telling you, it's the angel that has the wheel of eyes. Scary. But they didn't show me that day. They showed me biblical angels because I was being raised Catholic. So they showed me long flowing robes and wings and halos. And they showed me lots about the earth, what would be going on. So everything that's happening now, I've been seeing it my whole life. They showed me things about my life. That didn't make much sense to me at 4 years old, that I would be in love. Yuck, boys, gross. And they said, you can stay here or you can go home. And I tell you what, I thought of my mom and I didn't want her to be sad. So as soon as I thought that, I was back in my body. And my life began again, knowing that I was an angel, a real angel. And I had years where I wanted to forget, and they let me. I became all these different things, a teacher, a minister, a mom, and a wife, a singer, all these things. And now my greatest gift, besides being a mama and a wife and a daughter, is I get to be with you and help you remember that we're all connected. So, Spirit, I'm mad at you for not doing the REM, whatever that is. But let's celebrate. To life. Oh, no, that was me. I hope you have a great night. I hope that your angels are with you. That totally didn't light. And find me on, thanks, I heard you. It's tobacco. Cherry tobacco. In honor of my Grandpa Murphy, who's here with me tonight. It's nice. Find me on YouTube, Facebook, all the places. And also, find me in prayer. I'm always there with you. Always your friend in spirit. And have a wonderful evening. God bless you. Remember, we're all here in spirit. And keep that halo straight. See you next week.
Breathe deep, let the light come in. No perfect questions, no polished disguise, just real people talking to the other side. I ask the angel, come on, ask away. Ghosts, guides, pets, and past lives, all on the show today. In its eye.